And we continue at 106 in the afternoon. Talk Radio 790 KABC, the John Phillips Show. Broadcasting live in exile from the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa Living Room Studios. And it's time to fully reopen the state of California for business. Mr. Randy Wang's at the sports desk in Culver City.
John, while covering the UTLA protest last night where they are demanding a 20% raise among seven different forms of counselors for students and teachers, I learned that there is a higher form of anger than pissed off. And Cecily Myart-Cruz taught it to me.
And I want you to be all the way pissed off.
There's pissed off, and then there's all the way pissed off.
And I want you to be all the way pissed off.
Not halfway.
All the way.
And I want you to be all the way pissed off.
I love how there's a pause between pissed and off.
And I want you to be all the way pissed off.
Oh, boy. 800-222-KABC. What was that, Randy?
I just felt like you were definitely being all the way pissed off there.
And I want you to be all the way pissed off.
All right. It's a pleasure to welcome our next guest to the program. He is the host of the Larry Elder's Show on EpicTV.com. He's also the producer of the documentary Uncle Tom 2, available online at UncleTom.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Larry Elder. And a little birdie told me his name might be appearing on a ballot near you. Larry Elder, welcome.
Speaking of all the way pissed off, let's welcome Larry Elder.
And I want you to be all the way pissed off.
Big John, how all the way pissed off are California taxpayers who are going to be on the hook for $233,000 for every, quote, black descendant of slaves, close quote.
How the hell does that happen?
$500 billion, that's higher than the entire annual state budget. People who were never slave owners giving money to people who were never slaves. Is this a great country or what?
California entered the Union in the 1800s. California
Correct.
Was never a slave state. In fact, California
Correct.
Sided with the Union. How the hell are we on the hook?
Come on, that's completely irrelevant. The point is, black people are entitled to money for slavery. And I guess the hook is because of, quote, housing discrimination, close quote. Now, my family came here, as you know, John, out after the war, World War II. My dad bought a little house in an area called Pico Union, kept that house, tore it down, built a little cafe because it had been rezoned for light commercial, bought a house in South Central that we still own. So when my dad died, he owned the restaurant property, the house that we still own right now, a little under $1 million total net worth. I'm not quite sure how my dad should have gotten a check, let alone how his son, Larry Elder, should be getting a check. That said, bring it on down. make sure it doesn't bounce.
Well, if it bounces, you'll be all the way pissed off.
Now, we have a Californian named Kamala Harris. Now, let's just game this out, John. Her mother is from India. Her father is from Jamaica. He publicly said that his ancestors owned slaves. So does Kamala Harris get a check or does she cut a check?
Well, I mean, think about this. California is a state that attracts people not just from all over the country, but all over the world. There are people who were born in Mexico who live here, people who were born in Vietnam, people who were born in Europe, people who were born in Africa. They had nothing to do with the Confederacy. So these people are going to get taxed so they can pay reparations to people who were not enslaved?
Apparently so. And I was getting my haircut today. My barber and I were talking about this. And she is majority Native American. She did her DNA thing. She's 10% black. So she said, what do I get? I said, you get $23,000. Come on. They got to portion it out. And as you know, John, slavery could not have happened without the complicity of African chiefs who sold them to European slavers and to Arab slavers. And so do we now go back to Africa to get the money from Nigeria, from Kenya, from West Africa for their their role in the slave trade. You know, the whole thing is absurd. Every single people enslaved other people. Asians enslaved Asians. Europeans enslaved Europeans. Muslims enslaved Muslims. Native Americans even enslaved blacks, and blacks even enslaved other blacks. So, you know, unfortunately, slavery has been part of human history from the very beginning. It's only been in the last few hundred years that there was some sort of moral revulsion against it. So the whole thing is idiotic. Tom Sowell said it would be the greatest trans-hauling of money back and forth from continent to continent if we try to get down to the original source and pay everybody who was a victim of slavery.
And if we actually did that, you know, for the Al Sharptons of the world, it wouldn't be enough. He would come back and he would say, well, what you gave us was not enough. We need more.
Of course not. And John, you're a white person, and I want to ask you something. There are more poor white people in the country than there are poor black people. If you're a poor white person, that's just on you. It's just too bad, right? You didn't make the right decisions. You didn't make the right moral mistakes. You didn't go to college. That's just your bad if you're a poor white person. If you're a poor black person, it's because of slavery and Jim Crow and discrimination. Is that how it works?
Well, if poor white people got the check, too, I'll tell you what. I'd want to buy stock in the above-ground swimming pools that day.
But it's just interesting. The reason for this, of course, is because of poverty. And the assumption is that if you're a black person, the reason that you're poor or not as well off as somebody else is because of slavery and Jim Crow. But if you're a white person, you're just SOL. It's just too damn bad. You had all the breaks. You should have taken care of them. You should take advantage of them. You didn't do it. Too bad for you.
Do you believe that they actually have any intention at all of following through with this, or is this just a way to generate cheap headlines? A way that whenever something happens regarding a celebrity, like when Britney Spears had her issue with the conservatorship, and then all of a sudden these politicians just pop out of the woodwork and they propose legislation regarding conservatorships because they want to end up on TMZ, they want to end up on Access Hollywood, they think it's good for their brand. Is this just branding, or do you think they actually are going to end up writing a check someday?
So, John, you're actually asking a question about whether or not this is a practical idea. Look, they don't care. We are unfunded pension liabilities about $1.5 trillion dollars. So there's no money here whatsoever for it, but that doesn't stop them from doing it. They passed, there was a bunch of people that wanted single payer. It passed committee. It would have been $400 billion a year, again, bigger than the California budget. They don't care. They just think eventually they'll get the money. And by the way, there is a movement, I think, in New York for reparations, including for Native Americans, and they're going to use part of the COVID relief money for this. So it doesn't matter. Don't worry about that later. The idea is to pass it first, let the black and brown people know we feel your pain, and we'll figure it out later on. Just like they did the loan forgiveness thing, got held up in court, but mission accomplished. A bunch of young people decided to vote who otherwise would not have voted in the midterms. It's one of the reasons that Republicans underperformed in the midterms.
Well, and I'll tell you this, it's like these people are totally divorced from reality. Let's say for a second that you actually intend on following through with this and there is public support for reparations. It was literally just announced that there's a $24 billion hole in the state budget that they have to figure out how to deal with. If there's any moment in time you cannot go on a spending spree, it's when you know you don't have enough money to pay the bills that you already have past due. And you look at what's going on even at the local level, they're divorced from reality too. LAUSD has declining enrollment. People cannot pull their kids out of those schools fast enough. And what does the teachers union want? They want a 20% raise. We played you some sound from Cecily Myard-Cruz, the union president, a moment ago. Let's play some more sound for you.
We brought that Beyond Recovery proposal to the district in May. May of 22. May.
You know, and John, you would think there would be some sort of relationship between the kind of job they're doing and then demanding more money. Our test scores, reading and math, are near the bottom of all 50 states. And because of COVID, they lost points on math. They lost points on reading. A large percentage of teachers with school-age kids, LAUSD, where you and I are, would never put their kid in a public school to save their lives because they know what's going on. And now they want more money, despite the fact that they're not doing a great job. And they've gotten rid of the so-called CBEST test. That's the test that California teachers used to have to pass to show basic understanding in math and basic understanding in English, and now that's gone as well. So virtually anybody can become a teacher in California, irrespective of your qualifications. And if you survive after 2 years, you become tenured and they can't fire you. What a great job.
We're speaking with Larry Elder, who you can follow on Twitter at Larry Elder, and you can watch him on Epic TV at epictv.com and catch his documentary, Uncle Tom 2, which is available online at uncletom.com. Larry, let's spend a little time talking about presidential politics right now, because Donald Trump has been making a lot of headlines, first by announcing that he is going to run for president of the United States, then having that infamous dinner with Kanye West and Milo Yiannopoulos and Nick Fuentes and all of the fallout surrounding that. Then we had the bombshell when Elon Musk revealed all of the internal Twitter documents showing that the Hunter Biden laptop story was being purposely suppressed by employees over at Twitter. And then you had other people coming out of the woodwork who are saying, I want you to release all the documents as it relates to, Kyle Rittenhouse and the Covington Catholic School kids, because they believe that the Hunter Biden laptop story was not a one-off, that it was a point of policy over at Twitter to suppress any story that could be damaging to the Democrats. And then Trump came out and said that because of what was going on at Twitter, that election in 2020 should be thrown out. He should be installed as president. And everything has just pretty much fallen apart in terms of what's going on there. What do you make of where we stand right now? And you yourself are flirting with the idea of running for president.
Right. Never a dull moment on the Republican side. And don't forget, Elon Musk publicly said he would support Ron DeSantis for president if Ron DeSantis decides to run. And I think the pressure is going to be so intense on DeSantis, even if DeSantis right now does not feel like running, because he said things back and forth over the last several months. Polls are showing that a greater number of Republicans are tired of Donald Trump, tired of the drama, are tired of the election from 2020 being referred to as stolen, even if we feel that there were a great deal of shenanigans. They want to look forward. The Republicans underperformed in the midterms. Many of Donald Trump's candidates did not do well.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
So I think the idea that Donald Trump is going to waltz his way through the nomination has been blown to smithereens. There's not going to be a coronation. And if Ron DeSantis gets into the race, there's a really good chance he's going to win. And if you look at head-to-head matchups against Biden and against Trump, Trump is now losing against Biden by about double digits. Ron DeSantis is about even, and the rest of the country doesn't even really know Ron DeSantis yet. They really don't know what a great job he's done. They don't know that he took Miami-Dade, which is 70% Hispanic, took the majority of that. So when the rest of the country gets to know people like Ron DeSantis, I think he'll do even better in the polls. You mentioned myself. Yes, John, I'm strongly considering running. I've been to Iowa several times for the last 5 or 6 weeks. I've been to New Hampshire. I've met with a lot of people. I'm giving it a lot of thought, not because I want to dethrone anybody, but because I want to talk about some of the stuff that you and I have talked about over the years, most notably how the government has destroyed the nuclear intact family. And I want to put a fork to the notion that America is systemically racist. This is what the Democrats do to divide us. And I think I can talk about that in a way more persuasive and perhaps more authentically than some of the other candidates can. So that's what I want to do. I will do the same thing I did when I ran for governor. I did not say a single negative thing. Rivals, they did not adhere to the same principle that came to me. But I said nothing at all about Caitlyn Jenner, nothing at all about Kevin Kiley, nothing at all about Kevin Faulkner, nothing at all about about John Cox. They were my primary Republican rivals. They all said negative things about me when I became front runner, but I did not return the fire because it doesn't matter. The idea is to get rid of these Democrats, do something about the crime, do something about the homelessness, do something about the inflation, get us back to being energy independent and secure the borders. That's what I want to talk about. That's what I intend to talk about if I decide to run.
I'll tell you, Larry.
Throw a little something in the tip jar. ElderForAmerica.com is my political action committee. If you support me and you want me to do this, throw a little something in the tip jar, ElderForAmerica.com.
You are a free market kind of guy. And when you're in the arena of politics, it's a free market of ideas. And the idea that there shouldn't be a primary where all of these subjects shouldn't be debated and we shouldn't hear different plans coming from different perspectives, I think is a bad thing. I think that in the market of ideas, having your beliefs debated on stage in a formal setting or an informal setting, if you're going on those chat shows or whatever, that makes you a stronger candidate. There are people who say that if there's a contested primary, it damages whoever the nominee is, and it makes them weaker for the general election. I completely disagree. Look at what happened with Joe Biden in 2020, where you had all those people on stage. That didn't hurt him one iota. Having a contested primary makes you better. It doesn't make you worse. No professional sports team wants to go out and start playing regular season games without a preseason.
Absolutely. And you never know what's going to happen. I mean, my goodness, virtually nobody predicted that Donald Trump would be able to wipe out 16 Republican rivals. Who ever heard of Bill Clinton? Who ever heard of Jimmy Carter? And you get out there and you debate the ideas and surprise, surprise, some funny things could happen. So I would not toss the great Alderski's possibilities completely, totally out of the window. And I did run for office. Donald Trump never even ran for office, never held a position in government, was never a general, none of that. And he still managed to beat all these experienced people. So strange things can happen. You're quite right. We ought to have a primary. We ought to be debating these ideas vigorously, whether it's health care, whether it's how do we survive, how do we sustain Social Security and Medicare. Even Barack Obama said these programs are unsustainable, and yet we're spending and spending and spending. And by the way, both parties do it.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what else. We need to know if there is a second Trump term, who is going to be part of that inner cabinet? Who is going to be doing the hiring? Because while the people agreed with him on so many of the subjects that he ran on, people didn't sign up for John Bolton. People didn't sign up for Jared and Ivanka. People didn't sign up for Reince Priebus. And they ended up hiring so many people that slit his throat when he wasn't looking and tried to take his agenda and take his programs and slit him from within. I mean, how many people who have worked for that administration have written books about how they worked on the inside to try to block that White House from moving forward with right. their programs? That can't happen again. You got to have everyone on the same page, and you can't have people on the inside working against you.
Absolutely. And that said, isn't it amazing what this man did in 4 years? Best economy ever, secured the borders, got all these judges appointed, got 3 Supreme Court judges done, got the Abraham Accords done, got us out of that stupid Paris Accord, got us out of this brand deal. It's amazing what this man did, despite all the opposition internally. The media, much of the Republican Party hated him. The Democrats hated him. I've said many times that the only public figure more hated in California than Donald Trump is Charlie Manson, and he's dead. And he still managed to keep going. And, John, take away COVID, and this man gets reelected.
Oh, yeah. Well, and look at what's happened. Look at just the border, for example. Yes, we didn't get the wall, or we didn't get all of the wall, and people were upset about that. But on virtually everything else, whether it was, fully funding the Border Patrol, giving them the tools that they need, the Remain in Mexico policy, the judges, right. the immigration judges that he appointed, everything that he was doing was helping secure that border. And people weren't dying at the same numbers that they're dying right now trying to get across the border. The fentanyl wasn't coming in at the same rate that it's coming in now. The human trafficking wasn't coming in at the same rate. The other drugs besides fentanyl weren't coming into the country. Elections have consequences, and we're seeing that play out right now, particularly with the border, but pretty much across the board.
Absolutely. Interest rates were low. Inflation was low. We were energy independent. Gas prices were half what they are right now. And one of the first things that Joe Biden did was reverse Donald Trump's policies on the border, reverse his policies that gave us energy independence. You're damn right elections matter.
Larry Elder, host of The Larry Elder Show on EpicTV.com, producer of the documentary Uncle Tom 2, available online at UncleTom.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Larry Elder. And Larry, what's the website one more time?
ElderForAmerica.com, ElderForAmerica.com. Go Rams.
All right. Larry Elder, thanks so much for stopping by. And if we don't chat again before Christmas, have a wonderful Christmas.
You too, Johnny. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. God bless.
If you want to email the show, you can do so at johnnydontlikeshow@gmail.com. That's johnnydontlikeshow@gmail.com. More from UTLA President Cecily Myard Cruz, who is all the way pissed off.
And I want you to be all the way pissed off.
I'm going to need to make a drop of that one, too. Running out of room here.
Oh, look at this.
What's that?
Chad Mays, who is the assemblyman who left the Republican Party and authored the bailout of PG&E, it's just been announced that he's going to become a government affairs consultant for the firm that handles PG&E.
I'm shocked, I tell you. That's how it works up there.
Oh, my God. We talked about this at great length on the show. Why is it that an assemblyman who represents a district that's not serviced by PG&E is authoring the bailout of PG&E?
Job security.
Now we know.
You know, it's a story like that that gets me.
And I want you to be all the way pissed off.
All right, we'll have more on that later, but let's go back to Cecily Myard Cruz.
That's right. Cecily Myard Cruz is very upset. She's all the way pissed off.
And I want you to be all the way pissed off.
Because she says her profession is severely underpaid, and that's going back years, not just going back to...
May, UTLA educators are in the schools. We have been there. We have done that.
Wait, no, you weren't. You were in there for a year and a half. You're the one that said we should work from home.
We have been there. We have done that.
No, you did that remotely, possibly without pants on. Not making kind of an insinuation there. You know, most people, when they work from Zoom, they're wearing shorts.
Not Jeffrey Toobin.
We have been there. We have done that. And the district.
Wait a minute. There's a teacher in the background giggling at Cecily Myard Cruz saying that we were there in the schools. Listen closely.
Are in the schools. We have been there. We have done that.
Somebody thought that was real funny.
Well,
our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
I mean, come on. How can you not giggle?
Our learning spaces are special places.
That's what she said when she was defending remote learning longer than any other school district, which later she called the gold standard.
And the district just says, oh, well, we reject that proposal. And I think that the district is okay with some of y'all here working two and three jobs when one job should be enough.
That would make me all the way pissed off.
When you can't even afford to live where you work, we got a problem, y'all. We have a problem, y'all.
By the way, if you were curious, that's the quote that Howard Bloom at the LA Times used.
We have a problem, y'all.
That was printed in the paper.
We have a problem, y'all.
English teacher, I think.
And so the district has these solutions, and they want to do more testing, and they want to do all of these things, but they don't want to give you respect.
She's upset that they're doing standardized testing that shows that by giving her what she wanted, the kids experience learning loss like we've never seen before. And her answer to that is, well, just stop the testing.
I mean, I don't know. I know you're cold, but I need you to wake up right now. Are y'all overworked?
You know why it's so cold out there? Because they did this protest in December instead of
May. Are you underpaid? Are your schools understaffed? Then you better make some noise.
She has turned into a full-blown wrestler here.
Then you better make some noise.
God. Listen to that energy.
Then you better make some noise.
She's going to be the next Ric Flair.
Woo!
You know, teachers live in a weird world. They want the same respect that doctors and lawyers and judges and white-collar professionals get. Yet they also want to have rallies outside their boss's office and sound like professional wrestlers.
All right, she's holding your kids hostage, which means it's time for the list of demands.
But you want to say that we want a 20% raise. Am I right?
I want her to be my rep.
Oh, God. It used to be that they were afraid of the Teamsters. Now they're afraid of her.
So we want a 20% raise. We want a nurse. We want counselors. We want mental health supports. We want green spaces. We want an end to testing. We want an end to co-location. We want to stop criminalization of students.
Did you get all that? We want an end to all testing. We don't want any criminalization of our students. And also in there, they want green spaces. How nice. They must have heard Eric Garcetti saying that the reason black kids are stupid is because they didn't have trees.
That was one of the most racist statements I believe I've ever heard a public official make. And he did it with a straight face and zero irony.
You know what? Give me a couple of minutes to go back into the log because it's been so long now. But let's pull that up for everybody because that really was one of the greatest moments in Garcetti history.
When you email the show, you can do so at johnnydontlikeshow@gmail.com. And Randy, you're monitoring the mailbag.
That's right. This one comes from Alex, who's listening to Cecily Meyer Cruz ranting and raving.
And I want you to be all the way pissed off.
And he says she sounds like Arsenio Hall's preacher from Coming to America.
Look at these contestants for the Miss Black Awareness pageant. I feel good.
I think I hear it.
Now, a lot of people have been emailing asking about the origins of the various drops that we play on this program, like the two women from Reseda, for example.
No.
I know.
Or if the cashier is dummy.
If the cashier is dummy.
Don't forget about the woman with the pickaxe.
Questions?
Now, what we're going to do for you as a Christmas gift from us to you is Randy has been putting together a best of broadcast of all of the best KABC crime blotter stories of the year, and you're going to be able to hear in one episode where all of your favorite drops came from.
You'll hear where the cashier was dummy. You'll hear why the two women from Reseda were so upset. You'll hear some of the classics from the greatest crime blotter stories that we have played this year.
I'll be back. Get out.
That'll be later this month.
Absolutely.
You want to go to the Eric Garcetti?
Yeah, let's hear that.
Okay. So I referenced this last segment, and I want to make sure that I play it so you don't think I'm making it up. But Cecily Meyer Cruz, in saying that she needs green spaces in her list of demands, made me remember what Eric Garcetti said in South America back in October.
And we're focusing our solutions to combat climate change in the most vulnerable communities who are most affected first. For instance, instead of planting trees in all council districts equally, we're looking at those places that don't have trees today. Maybe it was too black of a community, too poor of a community, too indigenous of a community. But there is a senior citizen trying to get to the market waiting for a bus in the blazing sun, and she can't get there. A student who comes home from school, and because that heat is so intense without a tree, she won't do her homework and maybe not graduate from high school.
He actually said that.
And thought it was very profound when he said it. Right now we're going through the sound of UTLA President Cecily Meyer Cruz and her whispery, sultry voice at the protest outside the offices of LAUSD.
I do have one more request I have to take care of. Somebody wanted to hear green spaces mashed together with special places.
We want green spaces.
Our special places.
Hey, we just gotta do the hits here. All right, let's hear Cecily Meyer-Cruz get all the way pissed off. I only played you the end of this one.
Time is up.
Oh, boy. Somebody send this woman some Ricola.
Time is up. Time is up, LAUSD.
I thought you didn't like testing.
Only COVID testing.
Time is up. Time is up, LAUSD. Time is up. We want a living wage. We want mental health support. We want an end to criminalization of our students. There are things on the table. 87 pages of Beyond Recovery. And now is the time. Because we don't have any more time to lose. So I want you to go back to your schools tomorrow. And I want you to be all the way pissed off. I want you to be all the way pissed off.
It seems like school for the kids is going to be real fun today when the art teacher shows up all the way pissed off.
Here's Cecily laying the groundwork for a strike next year.
We got to be pissed off, and we got to keep our muscles strong.
Especially the calves, if you've ever seen her. That was mean.
We got to be pissed off, and we got to keep our muscles strong. Because this fight is not going to be over next week. And so I don't know about you, but I'm ready for the long haul. Are you?
You may be. Your voice is not.
Are you ready for the long haul? Yeah! And if you want a contract by the end of the year, we better turn up the heat right now. And so we're going to tell Carvalho and every district official, they better come back to the table in January and be ready to rock and roll.
And who wouldn't want to be sitting across the table from her?
She's doing full-blown Hulkamania at this point. Now, of course, because it's Cecily Meyer-Cruz, let me leave you with one more clip, because she's got a new rhyme for us.
We want solutions. We want no excuses. Solutions, no excuses. And you better believe we are ready to fight and get what we need. Am I right, UTLA?
At that point, she walked off the stage because I'm pretty sure she lost her voice.
That can't be good for your health. Going out there in the cold and screaming at the absolute top of your lungs for, what was it, 10 consecutive minutes?
How many droplets landed on her fellow teachers that might get the Rona now?
Was she wearing a mask?
No.
Ah, the kids are in good hands, aren't they?
And I want you to be all the way pissed off.
All right, we've got one more hour coming up on the John Phillips Show. Tammy Bruce joins us next. Don't you go anywhere, 790 KABC.
Baby, when you find the beat, get to know somebody, guess what? It's gonna be me.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see, good for my career. Sent me to rehab, though, so. I mean, that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.